The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, the source of all life, love, and light, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. Jesus was quite the magnetic recruitment officer, wasn't he? He just simply said, "Follow me," and what did they do? They immediately dropped their nets and they started to follow him. That's impressive. I think Jesus majored in public relations while at Galilee University. Given that he knew how to speak their language and that for some reason that was found, they found that quite appealing, right? Jesus knew all about their lives. He knew that they were fishermen. So he said simply, "Come with me and fish for people." That was absolutely brilliant. I think an important line may have been left out of today's gospel, however. It says that they dropped their nets immediately after Jesus extended the invitation to fish for people. And I really think there should be something inserted here. Before dropping their nets, I can imagine Peter saying to Andrew, "We might as well leave our nets behind. We're going to need bigger and stronger nets if we're expected to fish for people." I'm pretty sure that was left out of the gospel. Okay, probably not. But in all seriousness, they probably dropped their nets and followed Jesus, not because he was a slick recruiter or PR guru, but because he was offering something that they were not used to. And we get a clue about that in the sentences prior to their call story. One line says, "Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God." That's it. He was proclaiming good news. They were used to hearing bad news or negative news. They were used to bad news given their political, social, and economic conditions of their time and place. We can probably relate a little bit, huh? Maybe they just heard about their own government shutting down as well. Maybe. But Jesus' message was different from what they were hearing. He was giving them good news, presented in a way that made them find life in it. And he didn't say that life would be easy if they followed him, but he did say that it would be life-giving for them and for the entire world. When looking at the Gospel of Mark, it's absolutely imperative to focus on those words, good news, because scholars have determined with a great amount of certainty that those words are actually original to the gospel, even more so than terms like God and the kingdom of God. It's that same good news that we heard at some point in our own lives and that we still hear. The same good news that transformed and still transforms us. The same good news that challenged and challenges us. The same good news that gave and gives us life at this very moment. It's the same good news that Jesus, Peter, Andrew, all the disciples, and others have proclaimed throughout the ages, and we proclaim in our own day. So for this State of the Parish Address, I invite you to reflect on how you are the good news as an individual, and how we are the good news collectively as a community of faith named after Andrew, Jesus' first disciple. Together, with so many people in our area and around the world, with fellow Christians and people of other faiths, we embody the good news of God through what we say and what we do. We may not be perfect at it, but we strive to be it. And that is why we are in the state we're in at St. Andrew's Parish. We strive to be the good news people need to hear, and we point others to experience the good news as well. So I now offer this very short list, a litany, if you will, that only represents how we are collectively striving to be good news in our own day. And I need your help with this exercise. After I say, "we are," I invite you to say at the top of your lungs, with gusto, "the good news." We are
the good news.
This is going to be a good State of the Parish Address, I think. That's great volume. Thank you. We need that energy. Jesus and his early disciples emphasized relationships. They were in the relationship business. Over the past couple years, we've developed a number of small groups to encourage fellowship and formation. We now have several small groups going where 6 to 8 people gather for art, for theology, to learn the ways of St. Francis of Assisi and a number of others, for cooking. So we're trying to focus on the relationship business here at St. Andrew's and beyond. We are
the good news.
This past year, we celebrated the 10th anniversary of our street ministry, Church Without Walls, which meets every Sunday at noon in downtown Springfield at Court Square. And this ministry has mushroomed in many ways. We not only have a number of parishioners who call that their church, and they help us with it. It's a nice assortment of homeless and people in transitional housing, some college students. It's a variety of people. And we're very pleased that it has expanded to become a regional ministry, not only sponsored by St. Andrew's, not only sponsored by several other Episcopal churches, but the UCC, the United Church of Christ, has joined us. So together we're making a difference in the world. We are
the good news.
We also completed this past year our commitment to Habitat for Humanity. We committed $15,000 to build a house in Springfield, along with other Christians, with Muslims, and with our Jewish friends as well. And we not only honored that commitment, but we provided several volunteers to make that house a home for a family in the area. And we did that together. We are
the good news.
Pauline Stockpot Kitchen and the Little Dresses project have been brought to us thanks to some of our friends who have joined us from St. John's and East Windsor, who are now members here at St. Andrew's. They brought some of their outreach ministries to augment our ongoing ministries. And now we've adopted them as our own. And so Pauline Stockpot Kitchen is a soup kitchen, and we have made a commitment to be there at least once a month. And the Little Dresses for Africa, we just blessed several a couple weeks ago, and they're going off to Africa to an orphanage there. Together, we are
the news.
We had a very successful canned food drive this past year, toward the end of the year. We had a few canned food drives, but we collectively raised or gathered close to 2,000 pounds of food to support the Community Survival Center. That's huge, and that's because of your generosity. Together, we are the good news. The volume needs to continue, my friends. Let's do it. Last October, we had the privilege of hosting the presiding bishop, the head bishop of the Episcopal Church, right here at St. Andrew's, and around 100 other clergy from around our diocese. And one of the reasons we were chosen by our bishop to host the presiding bishop because he wanted to showcase what a vibrant congregation looked like in Western Massachusetts. So it was quite an honor to host the presiding bishop and several clergy from across our diocese for a clergy day. And some of you were able to be here to help with that. Or even before that, we did some sprucing up projects to get ready for his visit. And as others say around the parish, we need to have the presiding bishop visit every single year because we got a lot done before his visit, didn't we? Together we are
the good news.
And have you seen our art gallery behind us here? It's in this hallway behind me. Check it out. We're on our second show, if you will, and it features artists within our parish. We're a talented group artistically and in so many other ways. So check that out. And that was a new development this past year to showcase how we can connect to God through art. Together, we are
the good news.
What I absolutely adore about this congregation is that how much you're willing to experiment with new ways of doing things, although sometimes it's not easy to do that, with your willingness to try things and fail and then figure out what we need to do next. This new approach to annual meeting was conceived by our vestry because we knew that people weren't coming to annual meeting much anymore, so we're like, we got to figure this out. So we came up with a very different approach where we contain annual meeting to a few minutes after this service, or part of the service rather, and then we break up into workshops so that we can get your ideas about a myriad of things so that we can think about our future together as a parish. And we're at the point now, it was me that was really encouraging change when I first got here. I waited a year, but that I was good for a year. And so I started saying, well, maybe we should look at this different. Maybe we should do this. And you know, and you get healthy pushback, and we worked with folks. But there's been a role reversal. Now the vestry comes up with these ideas, and I'm the one be like, maybe we're moving too fast here. Maybe we need to put the brakes on a little bit. And they're like, what are you saying? So this is there's this role reversal, and it's a very healthy thing that we're wanting to breathe and expand the ways we do things here at St. Andrew's. Together we are
the good news.
This past year, we rolled out a new model for sustainable ministry to get more people involved in our committees and our ministry teams. We came up with 6 key ministry areas, and they're functioning in different ways. And now we have the monthly gathering of leaders, and around 20 to 30 people come quarterly, they gather to think about ways we can be more functional as a parish, how we can incorporate best practices and communication and leadership development, and how we run meetings. And this group of leaders, which are our ministry team chairs and whatnot, are really making a difference in the life of our parish. And we're trying to embolden and empower the role of all people here at St. Andrew's. Together we are
the good news.
And now our music department. Look at that choir up there. They've grown. And no, we're not renting people from online to be a part of our choir or anything like that. Sue Riley and the many gifts that she has brought to our music program, just very amazing. And she has really tapped into the talent of our parishioners. So that's why you see a variety of instruments in our services. And that's why the program continues to grow. And it's really important because music is what really helps all of us connect with God each and every week here at St. Andrew's. So I'm so grateful that Sue and our choir and for their entire leadership. Thank you. Together we are
the good news.
We continue to develop a strong relationship with our friends at First Church, the UCC congregation just down the street. And we not only worship jointly a few times a year now, but we're doing formation, Bible studies together. Our youth group now meets once a month with their youth group. And we're finding that having 20 to 30 or sometimes even 40 youth really creates a lot of energy and momentum. And they're doing mission projects together, and they're learning about how to love other people together. They're experiencing God's love together. Together we are
the news.
And we continue to make a lot of inroads when it comes to our interfaith connections with the Islamic Society of Western Massachusetts and certainly our synagogues, Jewish synagogues in the area. And we continue to figure out ways how we can be the people of God together. Every single tradition, whether it's Jewish or Muslim or Christian, we're all facing a lot of differences in our society in terms of the role of religion in a changing world. And we're finding that when we have a common witness, we can make a greater impact together. And the faithful of our various and respective denominations and religious traditions are finding new breath because we're working with people of diverse backgrounds. So it's just absolutely phenomenal what's happening. This past Advent, for the first time, we had a rabbi preach, not just give a talk, but preach from the pulpit here at St. Andrew's, Rabbi James Green. And one thing that stuck in my mind, that continues to stick in my mind about that particular sermon, was how he said that Jews and Christians are working closer together now more than ever. And one of the reasons that is happening is because we need to prepare our world. They're waiting for the Messiah for the first time. We're waiting for the Messiah for the, you know, to come the second time, but we're still waiting together. And it's an active waiting where we aren't waiting for the Messiah to make our world better. Maybe it's up to us. It's our responsibility to make the world ready for the Messiah. That was a beautiful way of saying that. So together we are
the good news.
We continue to grow spiritually and numerically at a very healthy rate. We now have become a regional church. Over 50% of our active congregation now comes from outside of Lawn Meadow, now representing 15 zip codes. Can you believe that? 15 zip codes. And that's our active congregation on a regular basis. Some people drive a couple times a week, 40 minutes one way, to be part of St. Andrew's Church. They are seeing the good news being proclaimed here. And other churches are doing that too, absolutely. But they've chosen to be here. Together we are
the good news.
And just if you are new or active over the past 5 years, I invite you to stand. If you're new or active here at St. Andrew's over the past 5 years. So we are so glad that you're here because you have become St. Andrew's. And one of the reasons we have become so flexible and willing to change is because you bring your ideas, thoughts, and contributions. So we are blessed that you have made St. Andrew's your spiritual home. And together we are
the good news.
We also become a magnet for clergy, which is a good thing. Of course, we've had Frank Coward here, who can't come very often anymore, but he's still part of our parish. We called our part-time associate rector a few years ago, Harvey Hill. We now have a deacon, finally, for a Church Without Walls, Deacon Eric Eli, who's been with us 3 years. Father Charles, who is, you're in your, what, 63rd year?
63rd year.
Yeah. Of ordained ministry. And he chose to be here at St. Andrew's after coming to our Easter vigil for several years. And I'm glad that he's with us. And then Rick Bellows, who's unable to be here. He's a newly retired, or not newly retired, he's a young retired priest in our diocese who has decided to come here at St. Andrew's and make it his spiritual home along with his wife, Danielle. So we are blessed to have these wonderful people who are enriching our common life. Together we are
the good news.
Just fast forwarding a little bit. It's hard to be church, particularly in New England, for a variety of reasons. And it's even harder to get positive stories in secular media about the church. They love picking up when the church isn't doing so good. And we need to be held accountable for those things. I want to be very clear about that. St. Andrew's, or let me rewind a little bit. We got the statistics from the Episcopal Church that are from New York, where our main offices are for the Episcopal Church. And out of the Episcopal Church, when it comes to secular media hits, the Diocese of Western Massachusetts ranks number 2 out of all the dioceses in terms of getting things published in positive ways, for positive things, in secular media. And out of the Diocese of Western Mass, St. Andrew's ranks number 1. We get the most positive news in secular media. We've had several press releases. We've been on the news a couple of times. And that's because we're striving to make the world different, to make it better, to give people hope. And people are picking up on that. Even the secular media needs good news to report sometimes. Together we are
the good news.
Our experience of vitality is not the norm. So we really have to do a good job of not taking it for granted. We have so much to be blessed here at St. Andrew's. And yes, our financial state is solid. For the past several years, we have ended the year in the black, so we've started the new year in the black, not the red. We have a realistic budget. Our income and expenses tend to balance each other out, which is what we want. The vestry recently approved a surplus budget so that we can make sure that our year this year is we have a solid financial footing. We've had to have zero spending freezes where if money gets tight, you have to put a freeze on the budget. We haven't had those for several years. So we are blessed, and together we are
the good news.
And we do have some challenges in order to advance the good news more thoroughly in the future that we have to really address over time. Like so many other parishes, our people don't have a lot of discretionary time. So we're finding it difficult at times to find solid leadership to take on new ministries or to take on the leadership role in existing ministries. So we're still trying to figure all of that out, and we'll keep focusing on that this year and beyond. Our metrics for growth are very different. A lot of us want to look in the rearview mirror and look what was successful back in the 50s and 60s when this place was pretty much full every week. But guess what? Society has changed. People only come to church once or twice a month now on a regular basis. Not that I encourage that, but that's what people do. And people aren't going to church out of societal obligation anymore. So the people who are coming, they want to be here, and they want to grow closer to God and one another. So I think we're going to explore different ways we measure growth at St. Andrew's. Yes, we're growing numerically, but more importantly, we're growing in terms of how we're influencing lives for the better. So we're going to start tracking our weekly touches, how we've connected with people inside and outside our walls. So as we continue, my friends, to explore and experiment in the uncharted waters of God's opportunities for us to be a vibrant faith community that boldly welcomes and loves all God's people who come through our doors or who we meet in coffee shops or on the sidewalks of Springfield, as we strive to change lives, to change the world, please know that we do this together because we are part of this big boat known as the church, that we have met together and that we are bound together, and that we are in the boat called life together to support one another and to pull new people in, especially the least, the last, and the lost. So let us continue, my friends, to work to continue to strive to be the good news in 2018. And I now invite you to recommit to living out one of our baptismal covenant promises. So I now invite you to stand as you are able. And if you feel so called, to answer this question with the same response as the litany. All right, and let's practice one more time. Together we are
the good news.
So your question is, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? We are
the good news.
Amen.